Welcome back to the Equipping You in Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this podcast, and with me today is Dr. Sam Storms. Dr. Storms, thank you for coming on the Equipping You in Grace podcast today. Can you please tell us a bit about your life, marriage, ministry, and some of the current ministry projects you're working on, please?
Sure. Glad to be with you today. I've been married 44 years, just celebrated my 44th anniversary last week, and we have two daughters and four grandchildren. I've been in ministry, trying to think again, probably about 42 years, and I've been here at Bridgeway Church as lead pastor for the past 8 years. In terms of ministry projects, I have a book coming out from Zondervan probably in February of this next year called Practicing the Power, about how to implement spiritual gifts in your life and in the life of the local church. I'm also writing a commentary on 1 Peter for the English Standard Version expository commentary series that Crossway is doing. So that's keeping me busy right now.
Oh, wonderful. I look forward to reading both of those books. I know they'll be very good. Would you please tell us about your book, Packer on the Christian Life, why you wrote it, and how you hope it's received?
Well, as you probably know, Crossway is doing a series called Theologians on the Christian Life. I was contacted, it's been about 2 or 3 years ago now, by Justin Taylor about the possibility of contributing. I asked him if I could do it on J.I. Packer, and that was unusual because all the other books in the series have been on dead people, and Packer obviously is still alive. He's going to celebrate his 90th birthday this summer. They were excited about that, so I've always been a great admirer of J.I. Packer. I know him personally and have loved his writings. I enthusiastically jumped in on this. I immersed myself, read everything that he's written on the subject of the Christian life. I hope, if nothing else, it will introduce maybe the younger generation of Christians who may not know Packer to this man that I think is one of the most influential Christian theologians of the last 100 years, and probably will go down in years to come as one of the greatest theologians and really what I would call Christian statesman in the history of the church. Packer is He's very unassuming. He doesn't promote himself, and so perhaps he's a little obscure and unknown by a lot of people, but I hope this book will introduce them to his life, his theological contributions.
Well, I love J.I. Packer's work. You know, some of our listeners, they like you were saying, they might be unfamiliar with Dr. Packer. Can you please tell us a little bit about this great man of God?
Sure. Well, he's British. He was born in England, raised there. It's interesting. I tell the story in the opening chapter of the book. If anybody's ever seen a picture of Dr. Packer or met him in person, they'll notice immediately this distinguishing physical mark on his forehead. He has a rather sizable indentation on his forehead, and it happened when he was about 7 years old. He was chased out of a playground by a bully, and a bread truck hit him. They were concerned for his life. Turned out he had pretty serious cranial fracture and was kept out of school for about a half a year and was not allowed to participate in any athletic events. And so he became very much a bookworm. He was forced to stay inside, just learned how to use a typewriter, and he read voraciously. And instead of damaging him in any mental way, it probably accelerated his learning skills. It probably accounts for who he is today. He taught for many years. He's an ordained Anglican clergyman. He taught for many years in a variety of theological schools in the UK and then moved to Canada, and he is currently still at Regent College in Vancouver, British Columbia. He's semi-retired. He still teaches, still is writing. He's had some struggles with his eyesight lately, but I got good report last week that he's responded to treatment. So he's probably best known for a couple of books. His first one that really made him famous was Fundamentalism in the Word of God, on the authority of Scripture, the inerrancy of the Bible. His book, Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God, is well known, but he's probably most well known for his book, Knowing God, which has sold a couple of million copies and I think probably is the reason for his reputation.
Yeah, that's a wonderful book. All of his books are awesome. Greatly enjoyed them. What two or three areas of Packer's theology have most impacted your own understanding of the Christian life?
I would have to emphasize, first of all, his theology of the atonement. He has written extensively on substitutionary atonement and defended it against its critics, and it really is central to his theology, to his own personal life. Packer also has a very high view of Scripture. He was the general editor for the ESV translation of the Bible and also for the ESV study Bible, which he actually says he looks back on as his greatest accomplishment as a Christian, is his contribution to the English Standard Version study Bible. I think also, just for lack of a better way of putting it, his Christocentricity, that is the Christ Christ-centered nature of all of his work. Everything that he does ultimately centers back on the person of Christ and the glory of Christ. I mean, all through his writings, you'll find a little devotional outburst where he'll cite the words of a hymn, or he'll, you know, kind of go into prayer, all of which is designed to fuel our passion for the Lord Jesus. So I think those are primarily the areas that I can, you know, I could go on forever. His emphasis on the sovereignty of God, he's very reformed in his theology. So all of those, I think, would be the areas where I have benefited most from him.
Oh, wonderful. What lessons can pastors and ministry leaders learn from Dr. Packer's ministry?
I probably would direct their attention to the fact that for him, theology is always designed for life and application and practice. He's very much a scholar, but he writes what I would call devotional theology. In other words, he always sees theology as in service to the church. Theological abstraction, deep thinking just for its own sake is not something that appeals to him. So he writes theology for the average Christian. And I think that is something that we need more and more of. And one other thing I would just say that I think people can learn from him personally, he is the consummate Christian gentleman. It's amazing, as many controversies as he's been engaged in throughout the course of his life and ministry, he has always remained respectful of those who disagree with him. He's very gentle in his demeanor, but that doesn't mean he compromises. He's very firm in his convictions. And he's just the model, I think, of what it means to be a Christian gentleman. He's a person that I very much would want to emulate in terms of how I conduct myself in the midst of intense debate and controversies on the Christian faith.
How do you think pastors and ministry leaders can handle controversy well, and what specifically does Packer have to teach us about that?
Well, I think in order to see that, people have to read him. They have to read what he has said about the various debates. The ones that he's been immersed in particularly, for example, are early in his career. He and John Stott were engaged in a little bit of a dispute with Martin Lloyd-Jones. This is in the mid-60s, on whether or not Christians should entirely separate from their traditional mainline denominations because of perhaps some theological wandering, so to speak, or whether they should remain within it and try to reform within. And he chose to remain within the Anglican Church. And yet at the same time, when the Anglican Church that he was involved with, the Anglican Communion in Canada that came out in favor of same-sex relationships and same-sex marriage, Packer very firmly stood against it and literally got up and walked out of the meeting where this was going on. And he was excommunicated by that Anglican Communion, but he's now affiliated with another one. I mean, that's just the way he handled himself in that. He was very loving but very clear on the teaching of Scripture. His defense of biblical inerrancy, just a model of how you do scholarship and how you love those with whom you disagree. You know, just observing his behavior, even in response to the people who disagreed with him. I mean, it's amazing. For example, he was largely cut off by, not so much by Lloyd-Jones personally, but by a lot of his followers when he chose not to align himself with how Lloyd-Jones was handling this particular issue back in the 60s. And yet to this day, Packer says that Martin Lloyd-Jones was the greatest Christian man he ever knew. That's high praise coming from Packer, especially when Jim himself endured a lot of personal pain over that relational breakdown and how people treated him. So just watching his life, and you get a flavor for that in my book. I address that in various ways in the book. So I think we can all learn from him and imitate him in the way that he walks in a very humble, Christ-like manner.
Oh, that's excellent. Thank you so much for that. In your opinion, Dr. Storms, what are three of the greatest theological contributions Packer has made to the study of Christian theology?
Wow, that's a tough topic, a tough question to answer. I would say, first of all, and maybe this is because it is so much a point of contention in our present day, and that is, once again, his emphasis on penal substitutionary atonement. He wrote an article that's somewhat technical, theologically speaking, called The Logic of Penal Substitution. Actually, the title of it is What Did the Cross Achieve? Subtitled The Logic of Penal Substitution. It's in his collected shorter writings as well. And he just does a masterful job of articulating the reality of the heart of the gospel, namely the substitutionary sufferings of Jesus. Then I think secondly, and I've already mentioned this, is his persistence in defending biblical inerrancy with all of the deviations from that and the way people have tried to read redefine it. And he has just done an incredible job in articulating that. And then I think maybe thirdly would be his focus on the sovereignty of God in salvation. He's a very solidly Calvinistic thinker, but he does it in a way where he still sees the absolute urgency of prayer and evangelism and personal witness. So I think those would probably be the primary areas. Maybe I can add one more. You asked for three, I'm going to give you four.
Oh, great.
The fourth would be the way he has brought the contribution of the Puritans into the life of the contemporary church. Because most Christians, when they hear of the name Puritan and they think about somebody who lived in the 17th and 18th century, they, and even the late 16th century, they tend to think, well, what can those guys say to us today? I mean, we live in the 21st century of modern technology, and Packer has written extensively and showed what we stand to learn from them, and he's brought their writings to us. You know, his book, The Pursuit of Godliness, is an absolutely marvelous treatment of the Puritans. His emphasis on Richard Baxter and John Owen and John Bunyan and so many others. He's just done a marvelous job of awakening the contemporary church to the value of studying the Puritans of old.
How can Packer's teaching on holiness help Christians today?
That, in effect, is what my entire book is about, is his emphasis upon the nature of sanctification. Packer talks about, and he has several ways of expressing this. He talks about, for example, the dispositional drives of Jesus being reproduced in the Christian by the Holy Spirit. And I love that language. And what he means by that is that sanctification is, in essence, the motives, the impulses of Jesus himself being reproduced and formed in the Christian heart through the power of the Holy Spirit under the authority of God's Word. That, in essence, is what progressive sanctification is all about, that we would begin to think the way Jesus thought, that we would speak the way he spoke, that we would desire what he longed for, that we would hate and turn away from what repelled him. Packer is so very helpful in setting this forth and how it happens. And you know, he's very, I think, another area of emphasis that goes right along with this is his focus on what we would call the means of grace. How does the scripture function to do this in our lives? How does the Lord's Supper function? How does the local church serve to transform us? What is the role of prayer and worship? All of these things are points of emphasis in Packer's theology, and all of which are designed to help us become more and more like Jesus. Or again, as I said, quoting Packer, to see the dispositional drives. In other words, the inclination, the disposition of Jesus reproduced in us. So that's a mouthful. That's a whole lot. I mean, a person could spend a lifetime pursuing those topics, and especially as they've been articulated by Packer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. How can Packer's teaching on guidance in the Christian life help Christians today?
Yeah, he's actually written a book on guidance, and it was co-authored with Carolyn Nystrom, who actually, you know, helped him put together a lot of his teaching. I think what Packer would call us to is simply coming back to the truths of God's Word. In other words, becoming so saturated with Scripture that we understand the nature of God. And so if we're thinking that perhaps, you know, should we do this or should we do that? Should we engage in this activity or that activity? What is God's will for our life? Packer's focus would be become so biblically saturated that you understand the character of God and you would intuitively know whether or not what you're being drawn to is something that the God of the Bible would draw you to. So, you know, you're facing a crucial decision and you're wanting to know God's will, and you're so immersed in the Bible, so immersed in the patterns of behavior that we see in God, so much immersed in the characteristics of his nature, his attributes, that you would find yourself saying, well, wait a minute, I don't think the God of the Bible would want me to do that. That's not, you know, we're talking about issues maybe on which the Bible doesn't explicitly speak. But you say, given what I know of how God has revealed himself, that doesn't seem consistent with what the God of the Bible has typically revealed himself as doing or saying. So Packer's approach to guidance is very much a biblically centered focus. You know, to use Spurgeon's language, if you were ever cut, you would bleed bibline. You're so filled with the Word of God that you have the ability to discern what God would have you to do and what you should refrain from.
Wonderful. What are two or three of your favorite amillennial theologians?
Yeah, we're taking a little turn here to eschatology, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Well, one would be Packer. Packer's amillennial as well, but I think probably Greg Beal, who teaches at Westminster Theological Seminary. Greg is a lifelong friend of mine. We were on the faculty at Wheaton together, and he has written extensively on this subject. So he's very, very good. An older amillennial theologian who's now with the Lord is Anthony Hokema in his book, The Bible in the Future. Certainly Kim Riddlebarger, who has written a book or two on eschatology, addressing the millennial debate. So those would probably be the ones to whom I would turn most readily and encourage people to read.
Excellent. What advice do you have for Bible college and seminary students, you know, looking to get into ministry?
Well, that's a good question. For those who have not yet gone to either a Bible college or a theological seminary, and maybe they're trying to figure out where, my advice is always go in view of the professors who are there. In other words, don't go for the name. Don't go necessarily because it's either less or more expensive. Don't go because of the city in which it's located. Don't go necessarily just because of its denominational affiliation. Look at the faculty and aim to identify one or two particular faculty members that perhaps in their writings or their ministry have influenced you, and then pursue them personally, not just in the classroom, but seek to be mentored by them. So I would always direct aspiring pastors to study, and then this goes as well for whether they're, you know, so much of education now is online, and sometimes even because of prohibitive costs, they can't do any kind of formal education. They need to set, I think, a schedule and a commitment to reading. They need to identify that handful of authors who have written extensively on these subjects and just immerse themselves in that. I mean, I can still remember when I was in seminary my first year, one of my church history professors said, pick a theologian in the history of the church and devote yourself to becoming an expert on that one particular individual. Not to the exclusion of others, but really devote yourself to studying that individual. So I chose Jonathan Edwards. So Edwards has been, for me, more than anyone else, kind of my professor, even though he's long been with the Lord. Packer's another, John Piper's another, Calvin's another, Luther, John Owen, so many from whom you can choose. But that's the direction that I would go if I were, you know, trying to give counsel to somebody going into ministry at this stage in life.
Aside from your own, what books would you recommend as a good starting point for learning more about Dr. Packer?
Well, there's several. First of all, I think it would be helpful to read about the man. So either my book would be a good place to start. I would also highly recommend Leland Ryken's biography of Packer. Crossway published that late last year. The last name is Ryken, R-Y-K-E-N, Leland Ryken. Excellent, excellent biography of Packer. You'll get to know the man so intimately in that book. But of Packer's own writings, certainly Knowing God would be the place to start. I think Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God would be excellent. I've also mentioned, I think it's actually been published under a variety of different names, but here in the U.S., I think it's published under the title The Pursuit of Holiness or The Pursuit of Godliness. Maybe that's it, The Pursuit of Godliness. It's on the Puritans. I would encourage people to read his short introduction to John Owen's book on the death and the death of Christ. My goodness, his book on prayer is very, very helpful. I would also recommend collected shorter writings of Packer. They were published in 4 volumes. I don't know if they're still in print, but if they are, that would be an excellent place to get started. So those would be the primary sources that I would turn to. There's so many. I mean, he's the bibliography of his writings and his book reviews is just almost unbelievable. So I have a short bibliography in my book, and I think if people would go to the conclusion of it, it's called A Brief Selected Bibliography. I've listed, I think, the most significant ones. I think his book, Keep in Step with the Spirit, is an excellent book on the Holy Spirit. Oh, here, let me give you the actual title. It's A Quest for Godliness, subtitled The Puritan Vision of the Christian Life. His book, Rediscovering Holiness, is maybe the prime source that I used for my book on his view of the Christian life. You know, those are just some of the ones that he has written that I have found very, very helpful. And again, a number of secondary sources, people who've written on Packer, I list those in the back of my book that I think people would find helpful as well.
Do you have any final thoughts you want to share about your book on Packer on the Christian Life, Dr. Sorensen?
I would only say this. I wouldn't want people to be misled about the nature of the book. I think some people have misunderstood this series that Crossway is doing. They're not primarily biographies, nor are they primarily books covering the entire theological perspective of each of the individuals. Mine in particular, and most in this series, really do focus on the theology of the Christian life. In other words, what does being a Christian, what is What is that in the perspective of these individuals? What does it mean to become more like Jesus? What is the nature of sanctification? So that's really what my book on Packer is. If you want a biography, read Leland Ryken's. If you want to understand what Packer believes about what it is to live day in, day out as a Christian man or woman, that's what you'll find in my book, and I hope that people will benefit from it.
Thank you so much, Dr. Stearns, for your ministry, for writing so prolifically, for your time today in this interview, for the many upcoming projects that you're going to be working on. We just thank you for your service to the church.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Equipping You in Grace. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a rating on iTunes and share it across your social media outlets. I want to thank you once again for listening to this episode. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you and keep you.